If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
On a phone line is my friend Jordana Green, who is a Jew living in Minneapolis. In fact, Jordana, welcome. I'm thinking of your, what is it, Twitter handle or your Facebook ID. You say a Jew living in Minnesota. Now you can say you know one, something like that.
Yes, that's right. Yes, John, Instagram, you know, it's not 2007 anymore. No one uses Twitter. Yes, I always say I'm Minnesota's Jewish friend. Now you can say you have one.
So tell me then about that. You work at a radio station that I used to work at, WCCO in Minneapolis. You and I worked together for 4 years. We were daily colleagues on and off the air.
Boy, was it only 4 years. It seems like a lot longer that we worked together, my friend. But you were a great mentor. And yes, I was John's lovely assistant almost on his show. I would chime in on things that he wanted me to chime in on so he could laugh. So, yes, John and I work together, and now I have my own show here at WCCO Radio. I work mornings for WCCO, so 3 hours on the air. Yes, I am a Jewish American person. I grew up, born and raised in New Jersey. I live in Minnesota now. My children were all born here. I've been here for 20-something years. And, yes, I am deeply immersed in my faith. I would consider myself a conservative Jew, which means I am a practicing Jew, but not too religious.
Sometimes I'll call you and your husband, Mark, and you say, well, I can't talk to you that day. You observe all the holidays. You do a, what do you call it?
The Shabbat. Thing?
Shabbat.
We observe Shabbats, but we try not to work too hard on Saturday because it is the day of rest. So we try to rest. And life is hard, John, so we try to take a moment to chill. Good for the mental health.
Yeah, I think we could all borrow from that. You have family and friends in Israel. Can you tell me about that?
I don't have family there right now, but we have many friends that are living there. My husband's business partners are there, as well as many of my children's friends. My children go to a Jewish summer camp. They all have also, all three of them have spent summers abroad and have studied semesters abroad in Israel. So they have many friends that are living in Israel. One of the counselors at their camp was murdered in this most recent terrorist attack by Hamas on Israeli citizens, and he was trying to save his girlfriend as Hamas broke into his apartment. He was trying to save his girlfriend from them and threw himself on a grenade, and he perished, sadly. He was murdered by the Hamas terrorists is what happened. And just this morning on my show, I had a young man, Eli, whose brother is a current hostage by Hamas. He was at the Supernova Music Festival and was helping other people get away and was taken hostage. And in fact, Hamas released a TikTok video of him being held hostage. It can be seen in a headlock by one of the Hamas terrorists with his hands bound behind his back. So a tragic event for our many friends and loved ones that are in Israel. And we are with them every day, and my heart is breaking every day. It's very heavy.
I'm so sorry to hear that, Jordana. That's just inhumane. The Jewish camp that your kids went to was in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. The counselor would come from Israel to Wisconsin, work with the kids, then go back to Israel where he lived. He lived evidently near the border with Gaza, and that's where his murder took place.
Yes, I don't know exactly where he lived, but he was at the music festival that was near the border of Gaza. Yeah. So he was celebrating there the end of Sukkot, one of the Jewish holidays, at the music festival. And yes, we have many Israeli kids that come for the summer and spend, summer camp with our kids. So our kids learn about Israeli life. They get to experience an American summer, and they, are together all summer. In fact, two young men, two counselors over the summer, came home on their weekend off with my son, who was also a counselor there, and they stayed in my house for the weekend. And I spoke to them a few days ago because they do live in the South, and they were, in kibbutzim in the South, and their families have all been evacuated, and they are staying with family more toward the North. So, no school for these kids. It's not regular. It's not life as usual. They are evacuated, and they don't know when they can come home. But those children, they're 16, 17 years old, told me stories of friends they had that were going fishing that went fishing somewhere in the South, and their friends have been murdered. So it is, none of this is normal. It is all heartbreaking. It is, the whole thing is tragic.
You mentioned kibbutz, and we hear that a lot, that some of these terrorist acts took place in a kibbutz. What is that?
A kibbutz is communal living. When Israel was a young state in 1948, after its establishment, it was nothing. It was desert. You know, people were living there, but there was really no infrastructure there. So the Jews that were living there and the Jews that migrated there established kibbutzim, a kibbutz, which is basically like communal living. It's almost like I liken it this way. You know how your parents move to a 50-plus community and there's a clubhouse, but they're individual houses? So that's sort of like a kibbutz is a much more, toned-down version of that. Often there will be a communal dining hall called a chadar where the people can eat together. And they have their own separate living quarters, maybe an apartment there or maybe a home. But some of them work the land. You know, certainly in the beginning when Israel was just being built up, they worked the land to build farms and survive. Others work outside in cities and come home. Some take care of the kids. You know, it is communal living, and it's a very family-oriented way that Israel was built, and kibbutzim still exist. They're a little more modern today, but they still have communal dining halls. People support the community and the homes and each other in which they live.
I wonder if the people who live near Gaza feel, even prior to this, felt like, I love my community. This is where my family lives, but it'd be better if we lived more inland, if you will, that is further away from the Gaza Strip. Was there always a sense of potential peril living close to the Strip like that?
You know, I never lived there, and your listeners should know that, you know, I'm not an expert, but one of the young men who was friends with my son came on the show the other day, and he lives in one of the kibbutzim that is in the South. And we asked him what that was like. He said, it's like how you live. You know, he's been to my home. He said, we never, thought about it being a dangerous thing. He said, in fact, some of the Palestinians from Gaza would come and work. You know, they were, and he said, and we were friends with them. It's not all kumbaya and everybody loves each other, but he said he never felt unsafe. That is why this is such an unthinkable thing, because, John, there is a literal wall that separates Gaza and Israel. And it was bulldozed down for the terrorists to get in there and massacre people. So that's why the citizens of Israel, I believe, remember, I'm not an expert and I never lived there. At least this young man told me it is unthinkable what happened to them.
And what was your reaction when you were hearing about this then as the events unfolded last week?
It was disbelief, as I'm sure yours was as well. It is unimaginable to think that terrorists would, bang down your doors and murder you and your family in your beds or in your kitchen or take people hostage. I mean, John, it's unspeakable. This isn't supposed to happen in a civilized world, and it did. So it is horrific because in my lifetime, I have never seen anything like this. In my lifetime, I have also learned about pogroms and the Holocaust and all of the places that Jewish people have been unsafe all around the world. People that live in the diaspora, which is any Jews living outside of the homeland of Israel, have been subject to, and we have for thousands of years. Since there's been Jews, there's been anti-Semitism. So while I say it is unspeakable and unthinkable, unimaginable, it really isn't if you look at the history of the Jewish people.
One almost wonders if when this was unfolding, if you thought, well, it's happening again. That is, was there some inevitability to this, given the conditions in which the people in the Gaza Strip have been living?
I think so. I mean, we all want peace in the region, but also there's always tensions in the Middle East. So there's always issues. There's always been this conflict between, there's always been a conflict in the area since 1948. 1948, there was the Arab-Israeli war, and There was the Six-Day War in 1967, the War of Attrition also in 67, the Yom Kippur War in 1973, the Intifadas in 71, in 2000. The Intifadas are uprisings, rockets, things like that being tossed into Israel. There's always been conflict. So, yeah, it's not like it's a total shock that something like this would happen, but it is a shock at the level of barbarity and terrorism that happened for so long and how successful the terrorists were. That is the shock.
And it seems to me like while some of us know some of the words, we know the vocabulary, we don't fully understand the full meaning of some of these things, like the Gaza Strip or the wars or occupied territories. I think that the emotions, the feelings of people when they first found out about this were, oh my God, this is unspeakable. This is horror. This is terrorism of the worst kind, that which was raining down upon Israel. And none of that has changed, by the way. That's just fact. And then, without playing the whataboutism game, we have now learned a little bit about the conditions in which the people in the Gaza Strip have been living. And I think that as we watch now Israel retaliate, we have sympathy for the Palestinians, the young people there that are being bombarded by rockets and dying. More people have died in the Gaza Strip now than have died in Israel. Those of us who are third party, if you will, looking in on this thing, are horrified by and have sympathies with both sides. You can appreciate that.
John, those of us who have had an understanding of this conflict have had sympathy for the Palestinians way longer than the people that whomever is jumping on the bandwagon now. I have been wishing for freedom from Hamas for the Palestinians for decades. In 2005, Israel pulled out of Gaza. There have been no Jews, no Israelis in Gaza since 2005. The next year, Hamas was elected. Hamas is a terrorist organization that is funded by Iran. And there has never been an election since then. In 2006 or 2007, I'm not sure exactly. Again, I'm not an expert. I am just a regular person, and I am not an expert. But the Gaza Strip has been governed by a terrorist organization for decades. I have had sympathy for them for a very long time. We should absolutely free these people, the Gazans, the people that live there, the Palestinians that live there. We should free them from the tyranny of a terrorist government. Nobody should have to live under a terrorist regime. And I have wanted their freedom for a very long time. So if you're asking if I have sympathy for them, enormous, enormous amounts of sympathy for what they have been through.
What is your feeling, Jordana, about the response that Israel is providing to this?
Israel has to go and get the people that are hostages. What would be your response if Canada came and took 199 Americans and abducted them to Canada? What should the U.S. do?
I wonder if this is the best way to execute that strategy, but I didn't call you to talk strategy per se.
I'm not a strategist. I never served in the IDF. You know, I don't.
But I don't
really
know how you
know
extricate
about that. I do know that parents need to get their babies back. I do know that there are, you know, 4-month-old children that are kidnapped by terrorists, and they need to be safely returned to their parents.
Understood. And I'm just wondering if this is the best way to do that.
If it were my child, I would want any way child to be returned.
Right. So if this is an imperfect means, it is a means to an end, that at least this is trying something, even though it might kill some of the captives or kill innocent Palestinians. You naturally have a right to do what you can to get your kid back. And so writ large, you support the Israeli response.
Again, I support them doing what they need to do to get hostages back from terrorists. I don't, honestly, John, I'm not a military analyst. I never served even in the American Army or the IDF. I don't pretend to know how to solve this problem, but terrorists abducted, now we're learning, maybe 199 people,
Yeah. And
they have to be returned. Imagine, if you will, though, that somebody said to you, if you return something that you have stolen, we will stop hurting you. or doing something bad to you, you would probably return what you had stolen, right? So if Hamas has the power, Hamas is the ruling government of the Gaza Strip. Mm-hmm. Hamas has the power to make this stop if they returned the hostages. Why wouldn't you do that?
Have you been to temples since? I wonder what others in the Jewish community you associate with are saying, thinking, feeling to you.
We had a very large and very good turnout of people in the community who are anti-terrorists. So it wasn't just one religion. It was anybody who believes in against terrorism came to Beth El Synagogue, which is a synagogue here in Minneapolis. And, you know, there were about 2,000 people inside, and that's all they could fit. And like another 1,000 were turned away. It was a very large turnout. And the governor came, Governor Tim Walz came and spoke beautifully. Senator Amy Klobuchar came and spoke beautifully. You know, they've both been to Israel. In fact, Governor Walz studied, I believe it was a Holocaust studies. He's got some advanced degree in that. So he understands terror. He understands fascism. He understands anti-Semitism. They both spoke beautifully about their visits to Israel and how they have been to towns like Sderot, where, you know, the kibbutzim were attacked, how they have seen this conflict and how tenuous the situation is. But their show of support was unwavering against terrorism. And that's what this is. This is an act of terror, and we all have to stand against it so it can't continue around the globe.
I wish that there was a way for Israel to moderate its response. I wish there was a way for them to retaliate. I can understand, look what we did. We got into a 20-year war after 9/11, and more than 3,000 people have already died in this conflict. So I understand the anger and the desire to strike back. But I almost feel, Jordana, as though it's counterproductive what is happening now.
I hear you. I think all war is counterproductive. I think war is a terrible thing, and that should never happen. And I wish we could march in and get the Israeli people that have been stolen, you know, from their homes. I wish that could happen. I guess that's not possible. We don't know where they are, or at least, you know, from what I can tell from the news, you know, I only know what you know, John. I'm just a regular person. I don't have any inside information. And I wish that were possible. I wish nobody had to die. I wish, you know, 1,300 Israelis were not massacred. I wish the Palestinian people would not have to be collateral damage, or the Gaza people, the Gazans, excuse me, would not have to be collateral damage in this now war. And I wish the governing body of Gaza would stand up and take some accountability and make it stop, because they do have the power to make it stop. And I wish that there were safe evacuations for people. And, you know, the Israeli government has been telling the people of northern Gaza, move south, please move south. They have dropped flyers and they said, move south, because there are tunnels that are under your homes where the terrorist organization of Hamas has tried to infiltrate Israel, is hiding. The terror network exists. There are at least 32 tunnels that are under Gaza that have been built to protect terrorists. And if they were only put that concrete into cement and bomb shelters for the people of Gaza, maybe there would have been less collateral damage. And I really feel awful for those people. I wish they had a responsible government that really wanted to take care of them instead of building a network of tunnels for their own selves. Because no one has told the people, go to the tunnels, you know, save yourselves. We're seeing videos from U.S. military that, you know, of blockades where the Gazans cannot get south. That's awful. You know, nobody wants the collateral damage except Hamas. They are well known as a terrorist organization to use humans, to use babies and women as human shields. They are the only ones that want these things to happen. I don't. You don't. Most of the world does not. They can stop it.
Has it been difficult for you to speak about it on the radio? I have found that if I say something that is sympathetic to the Israeli side, someone will text in inevitably and say something about the conditions under which people have lived in the Gaza Strip. That's been the powder keg or the measure of the Israeli response. But if you say something sympathetic to the Palestinians, then you will hear from people who say, how can you say that when the Jewish people have suffered this massacre?
Well, they shouldn't say that. They absolutely should not say that. I am totally sympathetic to the Palestinians. I feel so bad for them. They're run by terrorists. That's awful. And I'm just talking about, of course, the people in Gaza. The people, the Palestinians that live in the West Bank are a completely separate. They're run by the Palestinian Authority. They're not labeled a terrorist organization. It's the Gazans, the unfortunate Gazans that are run by Hamas. And that's a whole different story of what's going on in the West Bank. We don't have time for that today. But, yeah, I have complete sympathy for the Palestinians that are being used as human shields. I don't know anybody who wouldn't.
My question was a little bit along the lines of how do you talk about it? If you were the president of Harvard, you would feel the pressure of both sides. I would imagine as a Jewish person on the radio, you must feel pressure from one side or the other, or a reaction to what, you know, might on the surface seem like a pretty safe statement, like I'm against violence. But then somebody will say, well, what about the atrocity that this side has committed? How can you not condemn that? I'm not hearing that from you. It sounds like this has not been a complicated time for you to talk publicly.
It is a very complicated time to talk publicly, but you have to tune out the people that are uneducated. You know, there are a lot of people that are just coming to this conflict now, and they're not counting in the thousands of years of conflict that has been going on in this region.
Well, I think
and that's most people,
yeah. Jordana. And,
right.
And so for just a moment then, the conditions under which the people in the Gaza Strip have been living are, that's coming to light more so for a lot of us
mm-hmm.
now. It's
mm-hmm.
it just seems like such an untenable situation. I don't have the solution. I didn't call you to find one, but if you said, do I see how you can create a terrorist state, I would say, yeah, look at Gaza. That's how you breed terrorism. I don't know what Israel thought was eventually going to happen if you contain that many people that long that way.
Yeah, I don't know what they thought was going to happen either. I mean, I don't know. There was an election in 2007, and Hamas was elected, and they get to govern how they want to govern. I don't have a solution. And also, John, you know, you asked me if it was a challenging time. I find it challenging that people don't speak out against terrorism. If somebody came to the U.S. and murdered 1,300 people and stole 199 babies, elderly, innocent people from their homes, would people not say this is an act of terror and this is bad?
They are saying that, though, are they not? You're not hearing sufficient support for Israel right now?
In the same breath as, well, but it's Israel's fault that this happened. Really? That's my question. You know, I mean, I don't, that seems crazy to me that if, you know, or then, I mean, if the Native Americans rise up in America and murder people, which of course I don't imagine this would ever happen, and keep them and take them back to wherever, maybe if they live on some native lands that are they get to still own and capture some other Americans. Did we make them do it? Did the Biden administration make them do it? A little accountability would be really important here as to who created this terror network, who started it, and some accountability would be good. With that being said, I have complete sympathy for the Palestinian people. There are 22 Arab nations in this world. I wish they had more support. Mm. I wish they had a way to get out of the tyranny that is Gaza. I wish they had more support for people that they don't wish the complete wiping off the map of. The reason, and again, I'm not an expert, but the reason that Hamas and Israel don't get along is because Hamas's goal, it's in his charter, is to wipe Israel off the map. They have never recognized Israel as a state. They don't recognize the existence of Israel. So when you have a neighbor who says, you're not supposed to be here, and our goal as a government is to annihilate you, what is Israel supposed to do?
I'm not suggesting it would be easy to call the bluff, because it's not a bluff, But if the people, Gaza or the West Bank, were given more liberties, didn't live under occupation or didn't live with a wall around them, if it would be as bad as that makes it sound, how serious a claim can that be?
What claim? What do you mean?
That it would be death to all of the Jews, that they would not stop until Israel no longer existed. I'm familiar with the saying, but I wonder how real the impact of that would be.
Well, just so you understand, when people chant from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, that means there is no Israel, John. That means from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea, it would be all Palestine. That means there would be no Israel. And I hear that chant daily. And that's the goal, John. So I will take them at their word.
I understand that you will. I just wonder if, in fact, that's what would happen. That's a chant. But one wonders if those people were given more liberty, if they were freer, if, in fact, it would be more accommodating than violent, if they would say, I'd rather live than try and fight you for another 1,000 centuries. Let's see if we can find a way to coexist.
Well, that's what's happening with the other Arab nations. You know, the UAE, Jordan, Egypt, and of course now Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia's
like saying, you know what? Hey, let's not fight anymore. Let's not fight. Let's have trade. Let's have flights back and forth. Let's allow, you know, Israel and these other countries to live in peace. And that has just never happened with Gaza. It would be so great if they said, okay, you know what? You're right. Let's trade. Let's do stuff together, and let's work together, and let's be great neighbors. And Israel has worked that out with Egypt and Jordan, and now, of course, Saudi Arabia. And again, I am no analyst. I am no expert. I'm just a regular person.
You have to stop saying that.
Just a regular person. But the one of the reasons that real analysts and people who are experts on the region are saying that this terrorist attack happened now is because of the normalization of relations between Israel and Saudi Arabia.
So I understand.
Because does not want that normalization, because then, Saudi Arabia gets the benefit of trade, and there are other Arabs that are living healthful, successfully economic lives. And if the people of Gaza see that, they might rebel against their own government and say, hey, we want that too. We want to live like other Arab nations that are doing well, and why are you keeping us under
this tyranny?
That is my point.
That is why I just wonder if there were some way to let those people breathe a little more, if they might appreciate the fresh air and not be as hostile as that chant sounds. Here's a question.
Well, I think there are many Gazans that want that.
Agreed.
There are many people of Gaza who are victims of their own government. They just want to take their kids bowling and fish and just be regular people and have education. 100% they want that. I know that for a fact. People want that. And it is Hamas that is keeping them down. That is why, you know, John, I do have an issue with people saying, you know, that can't condemn terror with a full stop, because this was not the people of Gaza. This was Hamas, and there is a big difference, and we should do everything in our power to get those people either out or establish some normalcy where they can have healthy, satisfying, successful lives without the tyranny of a terrorist government.
Progressives in this country seem to have sort of shifted their allegiances to Palestinians in general. What is it like there in the Twin Cities?
I think it's just people who are showing up to this conflict right now. You know, they don't understand the history of the conflicts and how the Palestinians have been offered statehood 5 times and rejected it all 5 times, and don't understand that, you know, all of these wars that I have mentioned to you in the past, the Yom Kippur War, the Six-Day War, the Arab-Israeli War, the First and Second Intifadas, the Lebanon War, you know, they were started by Arab nations who thought they could overtake Israel. The people that are just in this conflict are just seeing the poverty of the Palestinians the Gazans, after living, you know, 20 years under this terrorist rule. And it's very sad, John. Again, what is happening to the Gazans is horrific, but it did not start 3 days ago when Israel tried to go get back its hostages. It started under the tyranny of terrorism. And where were these folks 15 years ago when they were being terrorized by their government and needed somebody to stand up for them to establish some peace or establish another government that wasn't a bunch of terrorists. I'm all for social justice, and the Gazans need some social justice. And if you ask me, the progressives, they're more pro-Palestinian. I mean, I can't understand how anybody would be anti-terror. So even the people that chant or I think they're all against terror in their heart. I think good people are all against terror. And when they come to be educated and understand that Hamas is a terrorist organization, which is also the government of Gaza, they will understand that the Palestinians need to be freed from Hamas.
Have you expressed feelings on the radio, or have they changed about Benjamin Netanyahu?
I express feelings on the radio every day. I'm
yes,
glad to have a platform. But it's very heavy, John. I got to be honest. I have a lot of anxiety about this whole thing because, of course, I'm worried about friends. I'm worried about collateral damage. I'm worried about the Gazans. I'm worried about the hostages. I'm worried about everything. So I do. I express it. And, yes, there's always people that, come at me with, it's all Israel's fault. This is all Israel. Whatever. Again, we're not changing hearts and minds here. I appreciate your effort in trying to... I applaud you for, having Palestinian guests on and for asking me to come on. But we're just giving our opinions. I don't have any answers for this. And your question about what's the feeling in Minnesota, it's probably the same feeling that it is in Chicago. The far left, I think they're new to the project, to what is happening there. And I urge everybody to read. Nobody, is necessarily interested in the problem before this past week. But I urge everybody to learn more about it. This is something that has been near and dear to my heart for decades, and I just hope that it ends soon.
Just the last couple questions. Full
scale.
You
asked me about Bibi, and I didn't answer that question. I'm sorry, John. Should we go back? You asked me about Bibi.
If you have something to say about him.
Only that I thought Bibi's time has come and gone. He's a troubled leader, an embattled leader. I definitely think that he should not have been reelected prime minister. But he's here now, and what we need is unity. And I think once he established a unity government, working with people that maybe he's not politically aligned with, just in the goal to get our hostages back, and protect Israel, I think it is fine for him to be in power now. And all I can do now is stand in support of the goal of getting the hostages returned home.
I'm just not sure that this is the way to do it. And in the process, say, bombing the Gaza Strip, telling a million people to move to the southern part of the country where, in fact, missiles are flying anyway, and killing so many Palestinians along the way. I don't know if that saves the 199. I wonder how that imperils, though, the millions of people in Israel going down the road. I would like to see them moderate their response. A full-scale invasion of Gaza, to me, would benefit nobody.
Again, I'm not a military analyst.
The question I was about to ask you was, and would that be disappointing to you? Would you say, oh, come on, we need to do something about this. We need to retaliate, because I think the eyes now are on the Gaza Strip, and we see all of the decimation taking place there, and it's Israel that is doing it. And I think that is beyond disquieting to people. Those children don't deserve this.
They do not. I 100% agree with you. They do not deserve this. No children deserve this. I totally agree. I don't know how to fix this problem, but no, they do not deserve this. And I am very saddened and devastated for the loss of collateral damage in Gaza, and, of course, the loss of life and damage that has been done in Israel. I don't exactly know what you're asking me. You're asking me if Israel should be retaliating?
As much as they are, yeah. I mean, it just seems to me like if my concern was to get the hostages out alive, this would not be the way to do it. This is vengeance. This isn't strategic. And that's, I think, what is disappointing to those of us who want no more killing to take place at all. I'm not cheering on what I see on TV when I see the Gaza Strip getting blown up.
Well, I mean, you say it's vengeance, it's not strategic. What if you found out that, you know, there were Hamas strongholds in the buildings that they bombed, or there was a Hamas tunnel under where the bombs were going? I mean, the goal is to target Hamas, and Israel has, I would say, good, I was going to say very good intelligence, but if it was very good, this attack never would have happened. Maybe they would have been able to prevent it before it started. But
right, but
Israel,
there does seem to be on the Israeli side, the scenario you just described, their willingness to inflict harm on all of the innocent civilians in the pursuit of the terrorists, that's the collateral damage that you are willing to exact.
Well, I'm not here to defend the Israeli army. I'm not here to defend their tactics or their strategies. I just know the goal is to bring home hostages. And the only people can do that is Hamas. So if they returned them, the bombing would stop. So I ask you, who is causing the bombing?
Well, I know who started it this time.
And just so there's no ambiguity about what you just said, so your listeners know, when you say you know who started it, who are you talking about?
Hamas.
Thank you.
I'm another one of those people that is late to this conversation, and as horror-struck as I was about the violence in Israel, I have been bewildered by the conditions that people are being asked to live in the Gaza Strip. So those are the two sides of the scale of justice I'm trying to balance here.
Well, do you feel like we've sort of talked it through? You know, you say you're new to this conflict. Do you understand now that the Gazans have been living independently under Hamas government since 2006? And
sure,
you're bewildered that they're asked to be living like that. But, I mean, that's who's governing them. That is who's supposed to be taking care of them.
Well, so, I don't know what you mean by living independently. That is, they've been hostage to Hamas there. And it's not like they've reelected them time and again. I wonder how many of the people living in the Gaza Strip who don't appreciate Hamas's rule have much of a say about that. And now, not only have they had to live under Hamas, but now Israel is raining shells down upon them. And that, and that, in my estimation, is more people than not in Gaza. So when I say I have sympathies with both sides, it's not Hamas, of course not, Jordana, but it is with those people who live in the Gaza Strip.
Yes, I have sympathies for them, too. I have a question, John. You know Egypt also borders Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to talk with somebody about their role in, you know, not allowing, I guess, freedom for them to lose or a blockade, you know, of their border? They call Israel, you know, the blockade that, you know, they can't, that the Gazans can't leave, that kind of thing. There's a border and a crossing with Egypt. Why hasn't Egypt helped the Palestinians? I would love to hear the answer to that, too, that, you know, it's all Israel's doing this. Okay, we have a border with Israel, but we can't have a border with other countries and Gaza. So, you know, Egypt is another Arab nation. I'm just wondering why they haven't helped more in the past.
I said on the radio that I don't think this is a peace that the United States is going to be able to broker, although we always have a hand in these sorts of things. But until the rest of the Arab nations broker a peace and assure Israel that they will be safe and assure the people of Gaza that there's another life on the other side, it seems less likely.
I don't know how. I don't know how to fix this. I really don't. I just hope that the people of Gaza are safe and freed from terrorism. And I hope the people of Israel are safe and freed from terrorism, and that this does come to a swift revolution and that people can stop dying and hostages are returned to their homes.
I'm with you on that, my friend. Any last thing you want to say, Jordana, to our listeners about this situation, your feelings, your thoughts, your family?
I have a stomach ache about the whole thing, John. It's been so awful because whenever you see people dying, it's awful. And I have seen people in Gaza dying. I have seen people in Israel dying. in Israel dying, and it's just a terrible, terrible situation. And you can throw blame around all you want. We're still being horrible to each other, and I don't know why this still exists in the world, and I wish it didn't. And I just hope for a safe resolution and a quick one.